found him. You know, he was not as cut off and isolated as Bumpus was. And Bumpus presented a new problem for blacks. Bumpus was extremely popular. Bumpus never did just, you know, I mean, he was, you know, a sophisticated governor. So it was difficult to put Bumpus in hold, isolate him on an issue. And this is the problem the black community has now, in terms of staying alive. It's difficult to isolate those issues which cause the black community to remain a black community, those issues which set us aside, apart from the white community. I mean, we know them, but it's difficult for us to feel them. You know, equal employment opportunity is just too difficult. Housing is opening anyway. If you have sufficient people, you know, the same problem that you're going to have nationally with the organization of black elected officials. You have a mayor in Los Angeles who's a black and mayor of an area which has only a 17% black population. You know, this man has assimilated. You have a senator of Massachusetts who with a black population of, you know, I don't know, 2, 3, 5, 10%. This man is assimilated, 4%. This man is assimilated. He's a liberal, but he didn't join this caucus, this national black caucus. And when you have, the mayor of Atlanta, and then you got a significant white voice. And I learned that, too, in this last 40%, 41%. Actually, I believe voting 45%. You'd have a different kind of representative probably and different kind of rhetoric probably if you had 100% black district. You follow me? So that Clay in St. Louis, I think that district is 51-52% white. So that when you find politicians, black politicians, I see here developing with Bumpus, with this fellow Clinton up there in the 4th District, with Jim Guy Tucker. I see a progressive white too. And if whites are permitting these persons to be, if these persons are appealing to them, then I see, in the next 20 years, a possibility that blacks will have assimilated more, that there will be less polarization, because we're having difficulty isolating the issues now. You know, it's black and white.
So do you see coalition politics developing more?
I sure do. I do. I really do.
Is Bumpus symbolic of that or not?
Bumpus could have had more support in the black community had he didn't need it. And not lost support in the white community. I think had he been a little bit better educated, because he didn't do anything that was, he didn't do anything to hurt the black community. Might have taken a few stands. I know this is going over a trial that I'm doing a brief on here now in Arkadelphia. You know, made a pretty good statement. The black-white issue down there, I went down there, and they wanted the National Guard. It wasn't a riot. They claimed it was a riot. Bumpus said, this is a problem that we have. He didn't take sides. They were strong down there. They wanted sides taken. Eastern Arkansas, they wanted sides taken. Bumpus didn't take sides, it could have been easy to take sides, maybe. I'm saying, he's representative, I think. But this demagoguery has left, I think. And that's hurt, when you say nigger to black people, it's not difficult to polarize. But you don't have that politician anymore. You have people who are saying, gentlemen. He may be doing some of the same thing for this subtle issue. He may not be working his budget out. He may not be appropriating any money for social services. But he's got his reasoning. He's not emphasizing the fact he's not appropriating money for social services. He's saying, I'm appropriating money for highways. I'm appropriating money for this and that. And just glides over the fact that he's not appropriating money for social services. So you got these kind of problems now.
Any sort of coalition between blacks and organized labor in Arkansas?
Arkansas, organized, a little bit. Labor stronger here in this area than it is in most areas.
You mean in Little Rock?
In Little Rock.
As opposed to the rest of the state?
Right, in most of the state. And it's It was pretty significant in my race, I think. I had organized labor support, and I had the teacher support. As I said, I had all the black groups, you know, extensively, you know, but these weren't, they don't really have any base.
Let me ask you a little bit more about your own background. What did your family do, your parents?
My father is in real estate. He's a real estate broker. And he's always operating, he started operating his own business. My background would have to be, you know, he would, I'd say, economically, at least middle class. It talked about the middle class. I mean, he economically, not necessarily culturally. He operated his own business, made a good living, not necessarily a whole lot of money. But he got into real estate and started making even a little bit better than a good living before I graduated from high school.
Which was when?
Which was in 61.
Did you go to Central?
No, I went to Horace Mann.
Was it integrated at that time?
Central was closed when I was in the 9th grade. 10th grade. Well, it started integrating when I was in 9th grade. There was no meaningful integration in Little Rock when I graduated from high school, meaning that Central was the only school that was integrating, you know, and you had 10.
So Horace Mann was still all black.
Horace Mann was still all black. And I don't know if they had any blacks in Hall, maybe one or two, I don't know. So there was no meaningful integration when I graduated from high school.
So your first real meaningful integration, at least Howard had some white students, but in being a minority position in an integrated situation in law
school, except for the year I went to school in Tucson, Arizona, which was in the 3rd grade, but I was too young to appreciate integration. You know, I recognize, you know, that there was, I recognize it now, you know, in terms of, I reckon I was a minority. I mean, Mexicans, though, were minorities, and the class was predominantly white, the teacher was white, but there's nothing that, really recognized. So my first meaningful classroom situation where I was mature and a significant minority, because when I went to law school the first year, I was the only black in law school. The next year, you know, we had some other blacks too. But Arkansas had not graduated a black lawyer since the crop of blacks who came out in 54, 55, 56. Wiley Bryant, I don't know if you about six came out together. Stropshire, Wiley Bryant, the guy here, Chris Mercer, Howard, a guy named Hayes. Then boom, nobody until I graduated in 68. Although we had one to attend there, but he didn't graduate, he left and went to Tulsa. Black was elected to the legislature there, but never in fact graduated, passed the bar. Subsequently, they learned that he hadn't graduated and ran into some difficulties. But I think the point that I don't see the white accepting the black candidate personally in the next few years. I don't see myself as running necessarily for re-election. In the next 2 years.
Why not?
Because I don't think that, you know, I do not see sufficient leverage in the state representative position. I see these positions as, some positions of some prestige. I enjoy the legislative process itself, but I see the electorate, the black electorate, as holding, you know, as wanting you to do much more than, you know, the powers of this position really allow you to do. I see that they are positions which are positions of honor. The man who's concerned, who votes for me, is a man who's concerned about neighborhood problems. Lack of curbs and gutters, lack of paved streets, the fact that he has to cross a railroad crossing before he goes home, lack of an emergency facility within his neighborhood, health care, problems which are probably even more local than the state legislature.
problems which probably should more effectively be dealt with by the city council. But these are the issues. And it's very difficult for a state legislator to deal with them. And it's very difficult for him to get the forum to even articulate his views. You know, this is a forum, you know, to some extent. You know, occasionally, because I was a lawyer, I think even more so than the fact because I was probably on more programs in a way because of certain other activities that I've been involved in as a lawyer, as a civil rights lawyer, and as a state legislator. So I view it as an honor. I view it as a man who says, look, you may be the most qualified candidate, Richard Mays, of the two, of the three, but you can't really do anything for us either in terms of substance. We may feel that you're more symbolic of what we want, but it's still an honor that we're giving you, and we have a right to take it away. We can give it to somebody who's less qualified, because neither one of you can really be that effective in terms of changing our lifestyle. So it's an honor as far as we're concerned. I don't know if I personally like that situation. So I would want to run for a position. I think that I'm going to run for another position in the next 2 years.
Basically, how about a Black running for a statewide office?
I don't see that right away.
When do you see it?
Well, now, we've had Blacks running for, well, first of all, you know, we got a Black running for lieutenant governor. We had a Black running for governor in the Republican primary against Rockefeller. Yeah, 700 votes on, you know. So we haven't had credible Blacks running for statewide offices. And when I say credible Blacks, I mean one person who could get financial support for the candidacy, or persons who had even a strong base in their own Black community. You know, they have been persons who have not had any real respect in their community. So they haven't had credibility in the Black community. And they, you know, they didn't have the money. And it was, not effective at all. Now, you had a man who ran for county sheriff for this time. And he did put that sheriff's race in a runoff. He got about 5,000 votes. That was enough because you had two white, strong white candidates. But he was not a man who was well-known or well-respected. You know, when you got a Black man who says, I'm going to vote for you, believe it or not, because you're Black, you don't have a lot of Black people who like to do that. That's why Johnston's in office. Now, the only reason that you had candidates who opposed him who were as qualified as he was this time, you know, qualified, meaning Black, very hung up on that. But the last time, you know, not only was he probably more qualified for the position, at least objectively, but he, you know, took positions on issues which I could identify with even more. So if I voted for this other Black candidate, I voted because he was Black. And Blacks hate to do that probably more so than whites, because we are... the certain voting element of the Black community. But I don't see I haven't seen I haven't seen a Black candidate go out and campaign for the white voter who had credibility in his community and who had some substance. And Sam Sparks has been the last Black candidate who's campaigned for senator over the multi-member district over this county. He went into the Black-white home and tried to get the vote, and they had white support, and he talked to the white, you know, and said, look, I want your support. And he had credibility in his own community. So you haven't had a Black candidate to seek number one on a countywide basis since Sam Sparks, in my opinion, the white vote. This is where I'm more concerned about running for another office myself next time. You know, people say senator. I don't see Senator, you know, first of all, you got a Black who's Senator. Secondly, although Senator Jewell and I are not extremely close politically, because I felt Senator Jewell in the last legislative session worked more, I wasn't considered a Bumpus man. But I could identify more with Governor Bumpus because I felt, number one, he doesn't represent the same. He represents a new, you don't know who he represents, coalition. I mean, he's not identified with the old power faction. It was kind of apparent when he ran against Fulbright. The old power faction supported Fulbright. Not necessarily because they disliked Bumpus, because they didn't know him. Some of the same reasons, I think, that caused some of the old power factions in the Black community to oppose me. I mean, they don't know me. Know me, but I don't play the same kind of, they see I'm not playing the same kind of politics.
Okay, but that leaves just two options for you then, statewide office or a city?
A county.
I'm a county, yeah. Yeah, city or county.
Right, county.
But you don't see this coming up statewide yet.
Well, not unless I would be successful countywide. I can see myself. In other words, now I see possibly one other candidate whom I've heard. But you got to get money to run for any office. I never really raised any money. I kind of used my family and its support. My last race, I didn't have to use my funds. Labor contributed to my campaign. And I got, you know, people, lawyers, just send you money that you know. Not necessarily from the district, but from the community. I had some of the representatives who didn't run, fortunately, sent me money. But you got a financial problem to run countywide, statewide. So you got to have some contact with the white community or something to get statewide support. I do see, I heard some talk about what I would consider to be credible candidates talking about running for lieutenant governor. But that position's got to be available, and they can't beat Joe Brazil, and he's going to be there, so you got to have a vacancy to occur. I don't see that vacancy occurring on a statewide level next election. I don't think, now I see a vacancy occurring on a county position. I see two vacancies occurring. I see Mills' seat being open. And I see a big rush of pretty strong white candidates for that seat. And I see the prosecuting attorney's seat being open. And I see the county judge seat being open, really. So I see three county positions available in the next 2 years. Two county positions and, you know, the congressional seat. So I see those as providing some possibility. Prosecuting attorney's office, county judge's office, congressional seat. I see the congressional seat as providing the least opportunity for black because of the caliber of whites who are going to be running. You know, people with already some established political reputation. I see Congress too very much like, in a way, you know, like I see the state representative. I mean, it's an honor. And so it's not only talking about, I want to run in a race where the issue is there too. That is very much like the issue that was there for the whites in the race in Los Angeles. You know, you had a man who'd been in there who had been tainted to some extent with corruption, as opposed to a man who was black would run, who seemed to be a good qualified candidate. So you got to have some defect, in my opinion, almost. But I do see myself as running for one of those seats, and then I'm going to leave. I don't think I can win, but I think it's good, based on what I think it's good to campaign in the white community, to walk up to a white and say, look, I want your vote, I need your vote, I want your help, I want your support. I can do this. I'm qualified for this position, and not only that, I have certain concerns, which I think should concern you for this position. I think this can be done more on a county basis than it can be done in Congress, because I still see that as an honor, too. I mean, given the fact you're disqualified, then the issue, you know, it still may be, you know, well, I like this man better. I know this man. I don't know these other people. I mean, you know, he's white, too. I'd rather have a white representative.
What's your opinion of Mills as a congressman so far as relating to blacks?
Mills seems to have been a pretty good politician in terms of relating to, you know, certain blacks who have leadership positions in the community. He seems to have been a pretty good politician, much like he's been apparently a pretty good politician in terms of relating to the white community. I don't personally, I'm turned off a little bit by Mills personally, you know, so I don't know if I can be totally objective with him. He's too much of a politician. You know, I think a man stays around in office as long, he becomes I don't know if he has any views anymore. You know, he's just a man who's trying to stay alive in the system, and he's got his power, and, you know.
Did you support Bumpers against Bill Bryan?
Yes, I voted for Bumpers. And when I say support, I gave him a campaign contribution. I think that's how blacks are going to have to support, too. Myself, I don't think I would ever just get out and work unless I really had a lot of confidence in a white candidate. But, my credibility means something to me, so I'm not going to just say, look, black community, vote for this man, like Senator Jewell did, let's say, for Fulbright, especially in a race when it was, you know, like that. I mean, I could see vote again. I could see standing up and saying, look, vote against this man, but I don't know.
Did you get active at all in priors, but?
When he ran against McClellan?
Both times.
Well, I was a little bit active when he was running against McClellan, because I was, I could say vote against that man. although I've been reading, I can see McClellan is a master politician. I just think that he symbolizes a certain attitude that that cannot continue to, you know, his symbol. Yes, his symbol is larger than he is. Now, I don't care what he does. But yes, I was active, first of all, in prize race, and made, I thought we made a pretty substantial contribution to his race. You know, I was active in terms of talking to friends and working against McClellan. On the election day, had a little endorsement thing that I was pushing. So I was pretty active against McClellan, and therefore far prior. In this election, no, I really wasn't that active. I didn't really think Paul was had a chance, you know. I just felt like I see maybe I should have been a little bit more active. I don't know. But I really was not that active in prize race. Didn't do anything.
What's your reaction to Charles Evers' endorsement of, not endorsement, but saying that he can accept George Wallace as a vice presidential candidate?
I think that's ridiculous. I think that's too much. I don't think that... my first reaction is that that's a little bit too much flexibility for me. I think politicians have to stand for principles. You have to stand for something. And when you gain that much flexibility, you lose any concept of principle. Now, I think that blacks could never support a Wallace. You know, maybe his son, but not him. Because... I think that the question then becomes, how bad do you have to treat a man before, you know, you lose him totally? I think to support a Wallace, to endorse a Wallace, is to endorse a symbol which is still serving to feed the political desires of many whites in that way. I mean, many people support Wallace because of what he has been. Whites who support him because of what he has been. And since they support him for that reason, then I'm obliged to oppose him for that same reason. Not necessarily saying he's the same man. He may be the most equal employment opportunity man in the world, but he cannot erase in 2 or 3 days or in one move or in 1 year or in 2 years what he's built a lifetime on. And I say, therefore, that I could not compromise on the Wallace candidacy, much like I could not compromise on McClellan. Not saying he's not a very useful senator. I saw some very good things in the paper that he was supporting and pushing. But I could not support him because he's a symbol of racial oppression. And many people who support him because he is that symbol, because that's what he means to them.
How would you feel about Bumpers as a vice presidential?
I think Bumpers would be a beautiful vice presidential candidate. I think Bumpers is a different man. I think that, you know, I'm glad to see a Bumpers. I mean, you know, I don't know how he, you know, from Charleston. But I think Bumpers is a very good, you know, he's pretty flexible. But he's pretty definite in his actions. You know, he's flexible in his speech. But now, Bumpers did several things which impressed me as a white politician. During the last legislative session, he vetoed a bill, you know, in Arkansas, 51 votes override a veto. Same number of votes required to pass a bill override a veto. So a veto is a moral statement by the government. Now, Bumpers vetoed a bill that would have allotted a certain amount, a certain percentage of the general revenues to the cities and counties. This bill passed in the House by 77 votes. Passed in the Senate. Senate, by the way, did override his veto. But when he vetoed that bill, he alienated the county, a lot of the local white political leaders, the county judges, the local structure there, the city people. And to do that, you know, took a little courage, in my opinion, for a pragmatic politician. So this was good, although he wasn't dealing with race, it gave me a little insight into this man. I mean, you know, he talks very broad, general, sophisticated language. But he's capable of taking definite positions and alienating people for principle. And this is what I liked about Governor Bumpers. He campaigns, you don't even know what he campaigns on. I mean, he says good instinct bring out the best in people. I mean, I don't think he took a stand. The only difficulty I had with him, maybe because I was an incumbent, was because he never did say anything Fulbright had done wrong, really. You know, Fulbright is there, Fulbright's been a good senator. He's just been there too long. That's basically all he said. And that's basically, you know, I'm a better than any man now. And, but I think he can deliver that message pretty effectively. And, and you know, as his parents, so I think he'd be a good vice man. I think he got a chance, not necessarily. I think Bumpus can compete with any white candidate anywhere in any area. And that's an attribute.
And you view him also as a man of principle.
And I view him right now as a man of principle. He hadn't been in politics long enough to be otherwise. He's been in politics only 4 years. So yes, I view him right now as a man of principle. And I think he'll come pretty straight with you and tell you. You know, he's hard to pin down. But you know, you can pin him if you talk to him and you ask him for the support of a certain proposition. I mean, he'll tell you he's not going to do it. You know, if you pin him down, I mean, he's not just going to come out and say, you know, screw you. But if you just pin him down now, he'll tell you where he stands. He's just hard to pin down.
Do you view his problem then with blacks as just one of the lack of sensitivity, or lack of commitment, or lack of communication?
Lack of communication.
You don't view it then as a lack of commitment or sensitivity?
Well, now, you know, it may be a lack of sensitivity and commitment, too. You know, it depends on, you know, whose perspective we're going by. I mean, I don't know.
I'm going by yours right now.
Yeah, well, I think that, I don't know. I hate to say there is sufficient commitment or sensitivity because I don't have any real evidence of it. So there may be a lack of commitment and sensitivity.
But not insofar as people per se.
Definitely not. I mean, look at his programs. I think it's obvious. You can look at his programs. Just look at his call, I think, to some extent now. On his call, you know, I thought he should have probably included state government officials and teachers, but that's an interest group there, too. He didn't, you know. So, you know, but he did include, Medicare. I mean, I think he's a very sensitive human man. Now, Senator Jewell was very opposed to him. You know, a lot of people were. You know, but I think that sometimes it's ego. You know, I mean, I too want to be recognized. But I think I'm capable of, that's the difference. I think I'm capable of going above that. I think that if you slight me, you know, and I want to be Richard Mays and everybody wants to be important. But I think I'm capable of making a judgment above that subjective judgment, whether or not you have personally offended me. But not recognizing and giving me all my due. And I think the blacks had to do that because I think all these blacks, we all felt like the press, man, in the election, I'm not sure that, but it's common, you know, like in my race, in Johnston's race, but it's, you know, it's just how they deal with state representatives. The black radio station, which is owned by white, gave the returns basically of the governor's race, lieutenant governor, which is not really relevant, senator's race, and the congressional race up there in the 4th district. And omitted, most of the time, at least when I was listening to the radio the day after the election, the returns in the district race. You see what I mean? District 3. Which means that, the general interest, the format, the community interest, the white community were interested in those four races. And therefore, how do you know? Because you can look at the media, the press, and television, and the, you know, blacks just adopt that format without evaluating it, insensitive too. So my point is that I'm having more difficulty. This is why I'm saying I'm kind of getting out of politics. I mean, because I don't really just want to be a state. I would not want to be a state. I don't want to be a different. I wouldn't want to stay a state representative if I were white. Because I don't think it's enough leverage. I can't have enough impact. I can't have enough say-so in terms of really producing. So I don't want to stay one since I'm black.
Is that part of the institutional weakness of the legislature in Arkansas?
Yeah. Yes. Definitely.
So we've heard about reforms of the legislature in Arkansas. Are they significant legislative reforms?
Now, first of all, you're going to have to reform the income there. I mean, you know, you still, you know, you don't make $100
They did develop, as they said, I don't know if you've read, if you've been reading the paper since you've been here, an expense account situation. And Senator Jewell, one of the senators, he was sued. Because they took their money, all the senators could have been sued. They took their money before they incurred the expense. But the income situation is critical, and certainly even more critical for people who live outside of Pulaski County. It's not really that critical for me, so that's not really the governing factor with me. Because I live here in the county, and I come to work at 6 or 7, and still get my work, you know, and going out and serve, and come on back. So it's no problem to me. But those people who are outside the state, I don't see the quality of legislator that I'd like to see in the WAC community. I still see the lower, you know, well, I still see in the white community outside people who are not sufficiently broad-based, in my opinion, who are too special, too, you know, dedicated to a specific interest group, who are too controlled.
Is that a constitutional problem?
Yes, it's a constitutional problem. The special interests have been just totally, and you know, this is another thing, just totally, people aren't interested in the legislature because they don't get any benefit. Only those people, the lobbies. The first thing I recognized when I was elected was that I learned the structure. I found out who the power structure was.
Who is the power structure?
I mean, first of all, your utility companies, because they lobby. They tell you, we want certain laws out there, certain large business corporations, enterprises, you know, the paper company, because they want some kind of special exemption or tax.
The banks?
The banks, savings and loans, they come and they dine and they tell you what they want to let you know where it is right away. Your local and county officials, they come to you right away and tell you what we want, because they come to the legislature for money too. Labor, Farm Bureau is extremely strong. They come to you right away, let you know. They're not strong.
Did the Farm Bureau?
Not in my district.
But are they strong in areas, issue areas
yeah,
that don't involve agriculture?
They're pretty strong, pretty conservative.
They in effect remain a strong conservative force in Arkansas?
Yes, in Arkansas. I mean,
did any of those groups, for example, oppose kindergartens?
No. I don't think so. Maybe. No, not per se. I don't think I heard anybody just say I'm opposed to kindergartens.
Well, I mean, did they work against it?
I don't know. I don't think so. You might have had some who were opposed.
How about the income tax relief?
I don't know whether the Farm Bureau worked against that or not, but free textbooks.
Did they work against that?
I think they might have worked against that. I'm not sure. They did work against, you know, I know they worked against, they don't relate to this ecology thing at all. That's a liberal white issue that they don't relate to. Social welfare programs that don't relate. There's Medicare. I'm really not going to relate to that. You know. They stated, but they take definite issues. I can only remember that when I went before them the last time. Not this time, but the time before. I don't recall the issues, but most of the issues which we were in opposite ends on, you know. Where the money, how the money is going to be spent, isn't, you know, 70% of education is a very strong lobby. Education of the higher educational institutions in Arkansas have a strong lobby. See, state government lobbies for state government too, the legislature. So you have that. You don't have
what you call just a rich elite. You know, you got farmers over there who do not want certain property laws changed. The rich, you know, Whit Stevens, R Club, APNL, horse raising people, they were there lobbying. They wanted to extend the season. The dog raising people, what they were lobbying for something. I don't know what they, you know, what they represent. A lot of money flows through them. Now, nobody was really opposed to kindergartens, and nobody was really opposed to free textbooks. But these issues have not been the issues which have traditionally been dealt with. You follow me? They haven't been on the agenda for some reason. You know, the kind of issues which theoretically you could go back. I mean, these have not been. Well, but you had welfare. Certainly, Uncle Faubus was very. He would increase welfare every time he got ready to run. I remember that. Papers. So he was coming, I guess.
How do you assess the impact of the Rockefeller years?
I think that, you know, I look at, when I see politics now, I see bases. You know, I see a power base. You know, I won't describe what it is now, what it stands for. But I see factions. And these factions are fighting for some kind of control, the money machine, or whatever they call it. So I see Rockefeller as coming in and having a new, he was a totally independent faction. And he was a different power base altogether. And that was very good. And really a lot of factions, he took over, he was a dominant faction. And a lot of factions just started fighting him or dealing with him or reacting to him. And what he did, and doing that in an effort to maintain some power, you know, he went out and he brought in the black community. I bought in the black community. Made every, you know, everybody, he just think black was just Republicans. I mean, everybody, you know, all the whites really just feel that the blacks were Republicans. When I ran as a Democrat, many people, you know, were asking me at this time, you know, well, you think blacks are going to vote in the Democratic primary? Or you think they're going to vote for Democrats. So that Rockefeller was a very unique, but he was a very personal kind of, he had a personal effect. And people, blacks supported Mr. Rockefeller, not the Republican Party. Yeah. So Mr. Rockefeller had a...
Some of his critics claim that he has bought black vote outright.
That's
the extreme position. How do you relate to that?
Well, I mean, I think he did. I think he did things to deserve to get the black vote after he bought it. I don't think he can buy a black vote and keep it. You know, I think that he came in and got the black vote initially by buying it. But he had, you know, Rockefeller would carry 95%. You can't buy 95% of any community. I mean, you got to be doing something. You got to have people out there talking for you. Now, I don't think that you can buy, anybody can be, you know, if you're doing those things. I mean, Fulbright didn't buy the black vote. He was trying, but he didn't buy the black vote. He didn't take the black community, at least as far as I could. Only took two, well, he took the East End over here. That was fine. East End went for Fulbright, which is a very poor community, and Pulaski Heights. A lot of precincts in Pulaski Heights, which is a very rich community. But, basically, I don't think you could buy. I don't think the black vote is for sale, really, any more than any other vote.
How did you see it split in that Buckus Fulbright race? Did you analyze the returns at all? I mean, even
a little bit.
Was your impression?
I think it was pretty close. I think that a Bumpus. I think as far as black community or total community.
Black community.
I think that blacks were lukewarm about both candidates, but I think most blacks kind of perceive they would only want to be negative about, then they could be negative about Fulbright, you know. I mean, the few things Fulbright did, like vote against Carswell, were things that I could relate to, but probably the average person couldn't relate to. Because they were, black. So that Fulbright didn't have a good image in the black community. But a lot of people were just of the position that Bumpus hadn't done anything for black people. So that they were negative towards Bumpus.
But as it turned out, I believe that Bumpers, you know, probably had probably 55-45% of the black community. So that blacks tended to, although, you know, they just wanted to be negative about Bumpers. When it came down to actually voting, they, you know, didn't support Fulbright either. They didn't, you know, like Fulbright. When they had to make the choice, they went on with Bumpers.
In a state like South Carolina, when public kindergarten came, that was clearly perceived as a black issue, but it was not in Arkansas, is that right?
Not at all. Not at all. Because Arkansas, well, I don't know, Arkansas is still basically a very poor state.
Right.
You
so is South Carolina. But
you don't have a really that much of a white, you don't have a big white, rich, you know, wealthy, you know, people here. I mean, the middle class is just expanding. Whites are just getting some of the opportunities that their white counterpart in larger states have had for a long period of time. So Arkansas is still basically agrarian. But I see changes with these new people who apparently are having a, you know, got grassroots appeal.
Or even this congressional delegation, you know, with the exception now of McClellan and well, Hammersmith.
Hammersmith, right.
But the rest of them pretty progressive, and then you have a guy like Clinton just wiping out Rainbow. How significant is that?
I mean, I think it's pretty significant, personally. I mean, I do. I mean, that looks, you know, I don't know, maybe because I want to view the world as, you know, in terms of my values. But, I mean, if McClellan beats Hammersmith, I certainly would view it significant. You know, I don't know now. Rainwater, I don't know. They say Hammersmith's strong up there. I just don't know. Rainwater was not extremely impressive to me. But David Stewart, who was a good candidate, the guy who introduced me to
Bumpers,
you know, never run before, and he just was edged out by Rainwater. And Rainwater had some name recognition there. And, you know, he'd been a senator up there. So he ran a real good race. So that was somewhat significant to me, too. So that, and Ray Thornton, I think, is a, you know, a progressive, a moderate representative. Mills, I think he's, you know, Mills and McClellan are only remnants of the past. Both of them are superior politicians. I mean, just, they take credit for everything. That's the first thing I recognize about politics that I don't have the inclination to do. I'm a little bit too honest to do that at this time. I mean, you know, if I want to stay in politics, I guess you learn. But the politicians take credit for everything. Mr. Bussey is the only black politician. You ought to talk to him. I really know. He takes credit for everything.
Who is he?
Vice mayor. He takes, you know, he's got vice mayor. I mean, he's some city board. He's one of the directors. But they created a position called vice mayor, who presides when the mayor, who is on the city board, does not preside. And the white, who is a mayor, is not nearly as aggressive as Mr. Bussey. Bus is a very aggressive man, energetic man, works hard, deals, you know, one-on-one. And so he's really kind of been able to, you know, outshine the white mayor. I mean, the white mayor can't make most functions, Bus is right there. But he takes credit for everything. You know, if you get a job, he takes credit for your job. Come by, you know, anything, me, everybody. He's credit everything, he takes credit for everything. So he's, you know, the man takes credit for everything, you gotta figure the man's done something. McClellan takes credit for everything. I gained that since I've been a little bit more sophisticated. Some of the other white politicians, you know, recognize that, you know, the senator's gonna take credit for this. We can, you know. And Mills tries to take credit for a lot of things. He and McClellan, see, Fulbright never did try to take credit for it. So he never really, that's one reason why I can think McClellan wouldn't have, supported him. I mean, he didn't like Fulbright, I'm sure. And they figured Bumpers might come up here and try to take credit for a few things, too, because he's got that much politician in here. So, you know, once you learn how to take credit, come back with your record, you've done this, you've done that, you've done this, you've done that, and that's what people really want to hear. And that's why I consider those two very good politicians, Mr. Bussey, one of the best politicians I know, you know, in this community. And he come a long way. You know, he was I met him when I was junior deputy sheriff. He was one of his junior deputy sheriffs. He's worked with the sheriff's office. He's worked with white politicians all of his life. And he has a certain perspective. And, you know, that might be, it's certainly a perspective. And he can, you know, he was elected, I think, recently to the board national board of the locally elected officials. Black.
No.
Of the locally elected officials. Not the black locally elected officials. The locally elected officials. Replaced Hatcher up there in Gary. So he might, you really, you know, he'd want to talk to you, I think. He'd be interesting to talk to.
What does he do?
Yeah, they created a job for him. Tucker came in as prosecuting attorney. He was working up there. That's when I came back. He was an investigator for the prosecuting attorney's office. Process server. No, he served process. Up there with another white gentleman. When Tucker, young guy, came in, young guy fired him. He didn't even find out plus he was, claimed he was working for him, he wasn't. So when he fired him, the legislature needed, two or three more years in order to get his retirement. From the county government. The legislature, 1970 legislature, created a position for Mr. Bussing as probation officer for Circuit Judge Atkinson, who was prosecuting attorney when I was in the prosecuting attorney's office, and on whom Mr. Bussing worked. So they passed a special bill out there for him. And that's what he's doing now. Now, he doesn't ever do it, pays him $6,000. He doesn't do nothing. He just goes up there and draws his check. And like he did when I was in prosecuting attorney's office, he didn't do anything then. This one white gentleman who was there, you know, did all the work. He was very mad at Mr. Bussing. But Mr. Bussing just came up and, you know, drew his money and left. So you can see he's a very effective black politician. He would have been, you know, probably just as effective had he been white.
Any other questions?
No.
Anything else you wanted to comment on? What should we have asked you if we didn't?
Well, I could have given, you know, I think that the an interesting thing that I did note about the last legislative session, I don't know if this were, I don't know, you're talking about politics. Is that although blacks did not make an black community expects a black man who's elected to do things that a governor should be doing. In other words, a black community